to our Kingdom Treasures series, and we are on lesson two. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for the word of the Lord. We thank you, Father, that you made a way for us to live in your kingdom. Lord, I pray for revelation and understanding as we go through these teachings, Lord, that the Holy Spirit teaches us about your kingdom. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So good morning and welcome, River of Life. We're so glad you're here. This is the day that the Lord has made, and this group came to rejoice this morning. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I love to praise the Lord with you. Throughout the Gospels, there are multiple stories that are told to help give us clarity to what kind of kingdom God was bringing into the world through his son, Jesus Christ. Last week, we discovered that the kingdom of God is like a treasure that is hid. It's buried in a field. And when a man found it, he sold everything he had to have it. The kingdom of God is worth any price. And it is a sacrifice we must make to experience that full life. We talked about that last week when we discussed the parable of the rich man. And I encourage you, if you haven't heard lesson one, go back and listen to that. It's on our website. So today we're going to discover a new kingdom treasure that reveals more of what God has for us. And the title of this message is A Little Can Be a Lot. Can you say that with me? A little can be a lot. The truth is that just because something is small does not mean that it cannot make a big difference. This is actually a kingdom principle that is found all over in the Bible. And in the book of Matthew, Jesus is once again teaching a group of people on his favorite topic, which is the kingdom of God. And he's using stories to reveal the amazing power that is being released in God's kingdom that also releases then into the world. So just a little background. When he talked about the kingdom of heaven, he wasn't referring to a geographical area. It is not an earthly kingdom. You remember Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." And in the Greek, kingdom meant sovereignty and rulership. So the kingdom is a place where God has full rule and reign. It's the king's domain. The kingdom in the Bible refers to God's rulership, where his authority, his sovereignty, his rulership is recognized. Let your kingdom come and let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, was the prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ. God's kingdom and God's will is one in the same. Jesus came to bring God's rulership here on the earth. A little of God's power can be a lot. Will you read that with me? A little of God's power can be a lot. And a little of God's power can do big things. Amen? So in the hands of God, even the smallest and most insignificant things can have a major impact. And that is the essence and what Jesus was teaching in this parable in Matthew 13:33. Let's go back to the verse, please. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked all through the door. So Jesus shares a story about something in the natural to parallel what is going on in the spiritual. There are natural things on this plane, but there are spiritual things at work here. And that's what Jesus was doing. Jesus says the spiritual thing called the kingdom of heaven is like this physical thing that we call leaven. And today we would call it yeast. And it was common for people to see women making bread every day. Jesus compares the kingdom of heaven to leaven and how it affects the flour. So in the story, a woman has 60 pounds of flour and she adds yeast to it. Now, even with that such a large amount of flour, the amount of yeast that you would use with that would be small in comparison. And this is because yeast is a fermenting agent that when it is added, it increases the dough and it grows. How many have used yeast? Yeah. It's terrible when the yeast doesn't raise the dough, isn't it? But when it does, watch out, right? So a small amount of yeast spreads throughout the dough, and this amount of dough that she was making would be enough bread to feed about 100 people. First, the yeast is added to the flour, then it permeates the flour completely. And the leaven, or the yeast, is the change agent in the mix. And that's what Jesus was getting across to the people. The kingdom of heaven is the change agent in the earth today. Jesus Christ came to release the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. Well, I had to look up some calculations to find out about how much yeast would be in 60 pounds of flour. Well, there's 2 1/4 teaspoons per envelope. And you need 2 packets or 2 envelopes for 5 pounds of flour. So it ends up being about 54 teaspoons of yeast for 60 pounds of flour. That is not very much yeast. It just takes a little. And so a little of God's power, Jesus was saying, can do big things. So Jesus uses this story to teach us some important aspects of God's kingdom. One of them is a little can become a lot when God is involved. A little becomes a lot when Jesus is in it. And the kingdom often starts small and insignificant, and then it grows. So biblical examples of that would be God gave a promise to Abraham that he would, that the world would be changed through his family. Think about that. Our father Abraham released this promise. God released a promise through him. Also then, when you think about the Son of God, our Savior, he came to earth and he was born in a stable. What a small, humble beginning in a little town called Bethlehem. And then think about this. Jesus chose a group of common people, just ordinary fishermen, to be his disciples. And the gospel of the kingdom has spread across the entire globe. Give the Lord a shout of praise. He uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. It's almost like God loves to show off his power by working through simple, small, and humble people and situations. You certainly can find the kingdom of God exploding on the scene in big and powerful ways in the Bible. But more often than not, God grows things like yeast in a batch of dough. A little of God's Spirit grows in the hearts of his people. And that is how the world changes. We see the kingdom principle on display in John 6:1-14. And just to give you the story of what's going on in those verses, it says Jesus has been, you know, he was traveling around and he was healing people. He was touching people who had a need. And everywhere he went, he was surrounded by these large groups of followers to receive from him, to receive from the kingdom that was within him. And the crowd had gathered, and Jesus was, again, he was healing until it was pretty late, and everybody got hungry, and there were about 5,000 people to feed, and Jesus was looking to the disciples to feed them. So they were out in this desolate place, and all the disciples could gather together were 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. How many have heard this story? It's a kingdom principle on the multiplication of what Jesus Christ can do with a little. So they took this. Let's just go on and read the verses. After Jesus told everyone to sit down in the grass, verses 11 to 12 says, "And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. So when they were filled, he said to his disciples, 'Gather up the fragments that remain, so that nothing is lost.'" Verses 13 and 14. "Therefore, they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which were left over by those who had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, 'This is truly the prophet who is come into the world.' Everyone was astonished and amazed at what had just happened. And they recognized this man is from another world. He's from another kingdom. Jesus Christ came from the kingdom of God here to this earth. So kingdom power makes all the difference. Can you say that with me? Kingdom power makes all the difference. Once again, God has a habit of taking a little and doing a lot. You know, and that's good news for you and me. Because maybe today you feel like you don't have a lot to give. And that's true. You don't. We don't have a whole lot to give on our own. But when we put our hands, our life into the hands of Jesus, you can accomplish great things. Someone say amen. Amen. And maybe you wonder how God could work in your life when you've made so many mistakes. Well, God loves you in spite of your mistakes. And someone needs to hear that this morning. God loves you. God does not give up on you. God never gives up on you. He loves you in spite of the mistakes that you've made, because there's nothing that you could have done that would keep him from working in you and through you. Your Father God is always drawing you to him. He's calling your name. I know he's calling people's names this morning. He's always drawing us to him. No matter how long you've been saved, no matter how long you've walked with the Lord, God is always drawing us closer to him. He wants to be your heavenly Father. He wants to release his kingdom. Let your kingdom come, let your will be done in earth. We're made of earth. Is that right? These bodies are made of earth. Let your kingdom come from the heavenlies, Lord. Let your will be done in this earth. The kingdom of God is where God's will is done. And so when we do God's will, the kingdom of God is within us. The kingdom of God is manifested within us. And today, there's nothing that's impossible for God. He cannot be contained. He cannot be overpowered. And he cannot be stopped. Somebody shout hallelujah. You know, we must have faith and believe and trust that God can do anything. We come to him as children. The mindset of children. You cannot enter the kingdom of God unless you become like a child. Like a child. Children just believe their parents. They believe their parents. They look to their parents for their help. When they need something, when something's going on, when they're troubled, they look to their parents. Well, God is the best parent, I'm telling you, that you could ever have. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that you didn't give up on any of us. And so something else that we need to believe is that God's power is always available. It's available to us. When we trust Jesus, we will see miracles. So the kingdom of God is like yeast in a batch of dough. It's like a young boy's lunch that Jesus fed 5,000 people with. And the key for us is to trust our Father God, that he is able to do it. When we trust God's ability to take care of a little, He can make it a lot. So don't underestimate God. Tell your neighbor, don't underestimate God. When Pastor Leonard and I, when we consider our limited ability and at times limited resources, we know without a doubt that God is at work in our church and He is accomplishing His will through us. Without Jesus and His kingdom, this world could not be saved. Jesus came into the world to release the kingdom of heaven. It's like yeast, and it is going to keep spreading and growing. So don't underestimate God. Don't underestimate what He can do. Jesus used something in the natural, yeast, in the flour, to explain what is going on in the spiritual. You may not be able to see it, but you're going to see it. It's like when you first put the yeast and you make the dough, you don't see it working. But even when we don't see Him, He's working. He's working in our lives. He's working in that situation. Don't give up. And that's what I hear the Lord saying. Don't give up. Don't give up. Keep pressing in there because He is using us to accomplish His kingdom purposes. Right here and right now. The kingdom of God is advancing. The Bible says keep believing for big things. Even before you see the big things, right? Before you see it, you got to believe it. It's like an instruction Paul gives in 1 Corinthians. And this is my last scripture. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Keep working, keep laboring. Never give up. It may look small now, but just wait. Just wait. Because God is moving. He is stirring in His people. And He is getting ready to explode on the scene. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We need your kingdom power to explode on the scene. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So I just want to challenge you. What is one way you can trust God to work in your life today, even if it may be difficult to do so now? That's the challenge. Think about one way you can trust God to work in your life today, even if it may be difficult to do it right now. Trust the Lord. Father, thank you for the word of the Lord that's gone forward. Thank you, Lord, that you are working in the hearts of people this morning. Lord, that your kingdom is advancing. Lord, I thank you. I thank you, Lord. I'm so thankful. We're to be a grateful, thankful people. We're so grateful, we're so thankful, God, that you are at work and moving, Father God. Thank you for every person here today. Thank you, Lord, for giving them an understanding, Lord God, of how you are moving in their life, even though they can't see it. And I thank you, Lord, that for 26 years you have been on the move in River of Life Community Church. Lord, I thank you that you have touched and reached thousands of people through this ministry. They have been healed, delivered, set free, trained as ministers of the gospel. Father, I thank you, Lord, that that continues to multiply. Lord, multiply us in Jesus' name. And Lord, we give you glory and honor and praise for all the multiplication that you do in Jesus' name. Can the church say? Amen, amen. This morning, I would like to take time to recognize and call forward our volunteers and staff. You know, many of these people have labored with us many years. And so we are so thankful and appreciate every single person who works in this ministry, every volunteer. And so if the pastoral team would come up first, if my husband, the head of this church, Leonard Cook, will come on up. Apostle Leonard, the vision was in his heart for this. And when we started our church, we started 10 weeks of outreach. That was the vision the Lord gave him. So we didn't open the door until we had evangelized for 10 weeks. And actually, our first service was on August 18th, 1996. And so if you look back and count back 10 Saturdays, every Saturday, beginning the first Saturday in June, up until that time, we were down in the neighborhood evangelizing. And when we opened the doors, we had 150 people. Most of them had never been churched, other than our family and some friends that had started the church with us. Other than that, the rest of them, they were figuring out what this meant to be a Christian. And so it's been an adventure. But I want to recognize our pastoral team, Pastor Vanessa and Pastor Jay. I'm not sure where they are. They are probably at the door, as well as Pastor Cheryl McIntosh, if she will come on down. And what we're going to do is we're going to all stand here. So if you can come stand with me and just stay here. We appreciate them. Maybe they'll just have to lock the doors and come in, you know? Because everybody that would normally be helping them will be called up here. So, all right, and our elders. We love and appreciate our elders. They serve with us. They give spiritual oversight. Elders Jim and Carol Pikunka. Elders Ron and Carol Denlinger. And Elder Sylvia Garza, if they will come on up. And I'm going to ask everyone to stay because we're going to take a picture. So please stay. So keep moving in. We have our board of directors, which is myself, Pastor Vanessa Peterson, Elder Carol Pikunka, Angela Moisinko, Aaron Denlinger. Come on down. We just lost our sound tech and... come on down. And Elder Ron Denlinger serves, and Gabe Moore, as well as Jerome McIntosh. Deacon Jerome, if you come on down. Thank you. And also we have our deacons, Cindy Grantier, Angela Moisenko, and Jerome McIntosh, if you will come on down. And this is our leadership team, and we so appreciate each one of them and thank them for serving the River of Life family. And so we're going to get a picture. If you can wait for Elder Carol, please. She's coming. And I'd prefer Leonard and I are in the middle, so I'm going to interrupt here. We're not middle. Okay, you want to move over? And Pastor Vanessa is? Oh, she's got kids. Yeah, she should be here. She can't. She doesn't like to get her picture taken, so. Yeah! Pastor Vanessa, she's like our right arm. She's been with us her whole life. She's running from the kitchen. She's watching crock pots. Can you see everyone? Don't run off unless you have to. Okay, you have to. You're with toddlers? Okay. We are going to get another picture. We would like to recognize our volunteers. So if Ray Denlinger, Janice Duncan, Sierra France, Tanya France, Lisa Grounders in California, Leslie Lover, Connor Moore, Jen Moore, Madeline Moore, Maya Moore, Joyce Negwa, Patty Ortez, Nancy Patty Foot, Zion Peterson, Trish Sheehan, Trisha Sherry, Angela Siekman, Yvonne Town, Roxanne Watts, and April Wyatt. If you can all come up, we need to, like, some of you need to go up. You don't have to go up, Elder Jim. You can stay down. Now, if anyone goes behind you, we won't see them. Come on, let's go. Let's go. Let's be a family here. Get your face up there. Trishian, you're short. Up there. I'm here, too. Right here. Okay. All right. I think we've done it. Do we have everyone? Angela, you're supposed to be up here. She's getting her steps in this morning before we have that big meal at the picnic. Awesome. Thank you so much. And let's give all of our volunteers a round of applause. We love and appreciate each one of you. Thank you so much. It takes several people to have a service, and we appreciate that they volunteer and they serve here. That is such a treasure for us. Amen. So at this time, we are going to close in prayer. And has anyone looked out at the weather, and did the committee make a decision? Are we heading for the park? It's okay? My app says it's not going to rain until 6 o'clock tonight. And they keep moving it, moving it, moving it. What are you saying, Pastor Cheryl? It's okay. All right. So we're going to go. Pastor Jay said it's okay, so it's okay. All right, so let's pray. And we're going to bless the food while we're here too. Is that okay? Father, thank you so much for this opportunity this morning, Lord, to worship you, to study your word, to pray and celebrate one another. Lord, I thank you. We honor all those who serve in this house. And we love and appreciate every member of our congregation, every guest that has come. Father, thank you, Lord, that you gathered this group of people today for this event. Bless us, Lord, as we go. We thank you for safe travels. We thank you, Lord, for good weather. We thank you, Lord, that you are with us, Lord, in our celebration today. Prayer this morning, the elders will be here to serve you, and we want you to come forward, and Elder Sylvia oversees our prophetic team. They will be here to serve you. This is why we're here, to pray for the people, to touch the people, to release the kingdom of heaven. And as we go and we fellowship, break bread together, we release the kingdom of heaven, and we rejoice that we have that opportunity. Thank you so much for coming this morning. If you need prayer, come forward. Otherwise, you